9 o'clock Mountain Time. It's Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, September 29, 2020. Tom Eagle up, your morning mayor. Shane Matobin, half man, half amazing. Geez, I thought of something else for you, but I can't think of what it is right now.
Way over the top already, so that's
yeah. Cool. Some other great name for you, and I can't remember what it was now. I'll think of it sooner or later. But anyway, we are live. Hey, thanks for joining us. Hey, we are here every day, or every weekday, I should say. We're here at 9 o'clock Mountain Time every single day of the week. Sometimes even on holidays. Like Arbor Day, we'll be here, and National Donut Day will be here, you know, all those holidays we work, you know, so we're always here. The important holidays. We will work on those holidays. So, hey, don't forget, we're also on the weekends. We're on from 8 to 11 Mountain Time, KMMSAM.com. Don't forget to go over there and check us out over there because, it's just a wonderful thing to do because, that's 3 hours, Shane. Wow, 3 hours on the radio. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
And we are at KMMSAM.com. So you need to get over there and check it out. And of course, if you missed any of our shows, we record them all. And you can watch past shows at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast. It'll take you over to either audio or video or whichever we have available. And you can check those out. And of course, right now, if you're watching us on YouTube, please subscribe because YouTube likes if people subscribe. And so do advertisers and like us because, Facebook says, if they like this program, we should probably promote it a little bit. And a comment. And if we make comments, of course, they go, wow, that's pretty impressive. These guys are commenting on this show. So do all of those things if you're checking us out on YouTube this morning. Get over there and subscribe, comment, and let us know what you're thinking over there. So, Shane, obviously tonight, Trump and Biden, they're going to go head to head. What do you think's going to happen here anyway?
Well, it's coming to an end, this entire cycle. I mean, after four years. So it'll be fascinating. I'm going to watch the moderator, Chris Wallace, to see how he controls it. Like I said yesterday, if Biden says, "Oh, you don't want to hear what I have to say," and Chris starts going, "Oh no, Mr. Vice President, please, take your time." Or even Trump looks at him and says, "Come on, Joey, just keep going."
You think so? Wallace, he's sporadic sometimes. Sometimes he's pretty tough on Republicans. Sometimes he's not. It kind of depends on, the situation at the time. I think this group, at least I hope he will be, and, get the questions out and, We'll see if they adhere to the time limits and things like that because they always have a hard time because they memorize their talking points, so they want to make sure they get them out. And, so he will need to control the time, I think. And there's always, after every debate, who got the most time? This guy got 30 minutes and 9 seconds, so this guy got 31 minutes and 10 seconds,
The Napoleon rule holds true. Don't interrupt your enemy when he's making a mistake.
Yeah.
So, I think that Trump is going to goad him. And because generally when Biden, from all we've seen in the last, year, is riled, he makes some blunder. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I think he's going to be pretty controlled tonight. I don't think he's going to make a lot of mistakes. I don't think he's going to make flubs. I think they prepared him pretty well to go after Trump. He's got a lot to go after him for. So, you know, I think it's, I think it'll be an interesting, interesting debate. Rush Limbaugh yesterday gave all the headlines ahead of time that, you know, Trump perplexed, Biden wins landslide, you know, Biden belittles Trump, Trump out of his element, Biden wins big, you know, whatever. And we'll see what happens. Obviously, will this affect the polls any? And from what most people are saying, that there are very few voters that are still undecided. Very few. So, and that's I would agree with that. I think there's very few people that haven't made up their mind yet as who they're going to vote for.
Yeah, you know, in 40 million people watched Hillary and, and Trump go at it. So they're saying it could, you know, there could be as many as 60 million people watching it tonight. So,
well, I think there's a lot of people going to be watching it. Whether or not it's going to change anyone's mind, I don't know, because they're going to say the same thing they've said in their speeches, you know. So the Democrats are going to hear the same thing they've always heard. The Republicans are going to hear the same thing they've always heard. And, you know, unless somebody really comes up with some kind of a plan, and they're not going to do that in 2 minutes or 3 minutes or however much time they have, that ain't going to happen.
Well, that's right. And the bar that the president has set is really, people are going to be watching Biden more than they're going to be watching Trump. They're going to want to see if he's up to it. You know, like, is he there? Yeah. You know, is there someone at home? Are the lights on? That's it. I mean, and I think it's Biden's debate to lose. It's not Trump's to win.
Yeah. Well, I think the first 10 minutes will pretty well establish Biden's, either he's there or he's not. I think it's going to be pretty quick. And I think he's going to be well prepared. The guy's been doing this for a long time. The one thing that I did notice in his other debates with Sarah Palin and who, I don't remember who the other vice president was, but Ryan. When he gets befuddled or whatever, or somebody is saying something that strikes a nerve with him, he laughs. And that would be the clue I would be looking for. If he starts, if he starts that big grin or starts laughing at something they say, that's pretty well an indication to me that they've touched a nerve somewhere.
Well, I know this will sound dopey, but I want to mention it. You know, one of the first debate was pretty fascinating when you looked at Biden physically, and he smiled, and he had that incredibly white set of dentures. Remember that?
And
it disappeared. So, you know, his chops will be different. You know, they'll be a little bit yellow, or they won't be as bright white as they were in the first debate.
you really believe that, huh?
Well, I don't, you have to look
at what's wrong with having white teeth.
I'm telling you that, you know, they a lot of people commented about it in the first debate. It was quite interesting. So I'm just saying.
Well, okay, so the guy's got white teeth. What's the big deal? I mean, is that making him a better president?
I don't know what else to say other than, you know, what questions should be asked. You know, what questions should Wallace is basically given the topics, and you know, he's for the debate, this debate in particular. And Bruce and Linda, what do you think? What kind of a question should Wallace be asking these gentlemen tonight? Because Trump won the coin toss. I can't even do a football analogy at this time of the morning. And Trump won, so he gets the first question. So, you know, that'll be interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and you know, it'll be taxes. That's going to be Wallace's first question. It will. Will you put this to rest, and will you release your taxes?
Well, that won't be the first question because it's not on the first topic.
I know, but yeah, that's what we're here to talk about. I'm just saying. You know.
I understand that. Yeah. Well, it'll probably come up somewhere, and I think Biden will bring it up more than likely.
Oh yeah. So
he's going to be the one to bring it up, and Trump's going to have to find some way to answer it.
Then Hunter and Biden's brother are, you know, open gaming on the table. So what do you think, Wallace's first question to the president will be? Coronavirus?
Well, I'm trying to remember what the topics are. I should have written them down. I didn't. Yeah. Well, I know the coronavirus is one of them, but I don't think that's the first one. I think, is the first one the economy?
It's in the streets and the economy.
Yeah.
And
well, the virus, unrest in cities, integrity of the election. I remember those, but
mail-in balloting.
Mail-in balloting, yeah, that's the integrity of the election. That's the last topic, if they're taking them in order.
Yeah.
But more than likely, the economy and the handling of the coronavirus will be the biggies, I think, of the,
yes,
you know, of the moment. So,
I think that Trump got a one-liner that's great, and that is, you know, I've done more in 47 months than you have, Joe, in 47 mm-hmm. years. That's a great line. You'll use that line. I fully expect that.
Yeah. Linda says she'd like to ask Joe what he would have done differently than Trump on the virus. I wonder if you have to be a little more specific about that. How soon would you have shut down China? How soon would you have shut down Europe? How soon would you have, quarantined people or whatever?
Yeah, and the other topic Wallace picked was, of course, the Supreme Court issue. And mm-hmm. so Trump's big question to Joey is going to be, where's your list, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I filled the seat. Where's your list?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to come up, you know, that I would expect. And that, mm-hmm. so you've got six blocks, you know, 6 half-hour blocks. And those are the six topics for the six, you know, for the six blocks. And then there's a, I believe the last block, the last half hour, they get to sort of go at each other on their own. You know, they.
Yeah, I don't know. But Bruce says taxes, regulations, and the debit or the debt, probably, I think it's probably what it is.
Well, you know, Craig, I wish it was 12 because I know how much fun I had at 12, and I know how great I looked at 28. Yeah, I'd like to be 28 again. I had a good time.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, I guess, how that comes out. So, but
this is important. I think that another comment you might hear about the taxes from Trump, which would be huge, I think, mm-hmm. You know, that there are certain provisions under the tax law that people, you know, with my type of business are allotted. And Nancy Pelosi, her husband utilizes them as well, and he hasn't released his taxes. So, Nancy, why haven't you released your tax? Because she hasn't, you know, because. Mm-hmm. They filed jointly, her and her husband. And as we know, he's a hedge fund manager. Wow, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he's utilized the same deductions probably that Trump has. And why haven't you released your taxes? You know, and that would be a good response too. It would. Yeah.
Well, Nancy does have to release her income to the Senate or to the House as well. Yeah, I mean, they have to make financial disclosures. So.
She hasn't provided tax returns for her and her husband either. I'm just saying it's a good counter. It's a good counter because he's a billionaire.
I understand. Right? Yeah.
Nancy's is a billionaire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I still don't believe taxes are an accurate way because all of us, every person listening to us right now, you just don't want to pay more taxes than you have to. I mean, that's just human nature, you know. I hate paying any taxes to the government because they screw it up. You know, they don't handle money well at all. I handle money a hell of a lot better than the government does.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes to wealth, it's all relative. You know, Jane, who's making kinds of motions, the basketball player, you know, he's building a $150 million mansion in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So it's relative to someone that can afford a, you know, $1 million home in the rest mm-hmm. of it, or, you know, $500,000. It's all relative to your income. Everything's relative to your income.
Sure. Yeah. When Trump brings up Hunter, Joe will get upset and bring up lies. So,
well, he'll deny it. I mean, if Hunter comes, because he's been denying it all along, right?
Yeah.
But he'll deny it quietly by saying he didn't do anything illegal. Well, it's the perception. It's not, you know, it's the perception of what happened.
How does it feel to pay more taxes than Donald Trump? He's either a tax cheat or really bad businessman. No, I'd say he has a really good accountant, is what I would say. And again, you know, if the tax, if the IRS doesn't have a problem with his returns, you know, they're not going to make them public, but they certainly will say, hey, you owe us money or you're going to jail. One of the two, you know, if you've really cheated, you know, on your on your returns, you know, we're going
to. On one of the, excuse me for interrupting, it's sort of important, I think. On one of the woke media shows last night, they had a tax expert. Mm-hmm. And said it's against the law, 20 years in jail, to release a person's tax information from the IRS without
their permission.
So someone in the IRS released this information to the New York Times, which makes it illegal. And the law goes further. He went into it, and he's, and this on CNN. The people sitting there weren't happy to hear this. Yeah. He looked at me and said, not only illegal and 20 years in prison plus a big fine, but it's illegal for a newspaper to print it. So, you know, the New York Times won't divulge their source. So if the source is a government person, what they did was illegal and go to prison. And then Trump could sue the New York Times because of it. So
he certainly could. Absolutely right. Yeah. Let's see. Jim says, hi, guys. Listen to you while sitting in my motorhome in Wyoming. All right. Craig says, after he loses, Trump's going to jail. And Clint wants to know, has Biden been altering his sleep schedule these past few weeks to fight the sundowner effect? Yeah. Has he been going to bed early so he at 9 o'clock he'll be brisk and awake or whatever? That's a good question from Clint. And Jim says, this is the most convenient propaganda by the New York Times right before the debate. What a coincidence. Not.
Yeah, a great question that Trump could ask Biden, you know, when's daylight savings time? When does daylight savings time start? Or are have you already turned your clock back an hour?
Yeah, right. Okay, sir, are you still on daylight savings time and whatever? So, well, another topic I think is going to be really interesting is when they get into the unrest in these cities. What Biden would have done? Would he have sent in the National Guard? Would he have, you know, would he have controlled the situation better? Would he have condemned the rioters, which he didn't do during the convention? And I think that's something that's gonna weigh on him to answer.
Would he sign a national or a presidential order, you know, increasing the penalty for destroying federal buildings and monuments? And would he have done what Trump did, which was basically stop them tearing down monuments? Because the minute he signed that executive order, it all stopped.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Trump could shoot Shane on Fifth Avenue, and Shane would still support him.
Well, I mean, if he wounded me, I mean, it wouldn't matter. I mean, if as they say, nailed my butt, you know, and I support him, I'm gone.
Well, if Trump shot you, you would automatically become a Democrat, a dead Democrat, and be eligible to vote. So.
True. That's, I never thought that way.
That's how easy it that's how easy it would be. So
back on that, okay, you know, because you got to make sure I get that ballot, because you know I got shot, I'm dead, and I'm not even eligible to vote. So all kinds of different problems there.
All right. Let's see, Clint Field, he got a $75 million refund, meaning he paid in substantially more than that. Did you pay? How many voters besides Mark Cuban, Steyer, Pelosi, Soros, Oprah pay that much? I guess they all vote Republican. So, he got a big refund from the from the IRS, and the IRS said, yep, that refund is okay. Thank you very much.
Then you're thinking, what's a great button to push for Trump on Biden? So when if the tax issue comes up and, you know, Biden makes a comment or something, what a great line. So where are Hunter Biden's tax returns, Joey? That would be a great button. That would be, you know, you want to see Hunter Biden's tax. I mean, hearing he got $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow, like, I want to know if he claimed it.
Well, he's not up for office, so we don't need to see his return. So there you go.
I know. I'm trying to engage in what the possibilities are.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that for the people watching us that.
Yeah, but we want credit tomorrow for the things we were right about. Come on.
Well, I understand that, and we probably will be, but we got to be fair and balanced here, you know?
Well, yes, and as we said time and time and time before, he has a large corporations that his kids are now, you know, operating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And covered all of his expenses, including, you know, his big plane and everything else. And it's a cash cow because, you know, it's a brand company, basically. And it's segregated into, you know, 50 different sub-corporations. So, you know, he probably got a salary in his expenses. And, you know, I do think at some point it'll all come out, you know, it'll be part of his legacy. He'll want it all to come out. I really believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you remember when Michael Douglas in the president, whatever that movie was, he was in with American President. Yeah. Yeah. He wanted to send her flowers or something. And he asked where his credit cards were. And they said, well, I think they're in storage in Wisconsin or wherever he came from. So, that's so yeah, I can't even send my girlfriend flowers because I don't have any credit cards. So I tell you, being a president is a pain in the butt, man. It's there's so many things you can't do.
Well, it's a fascinating reality. You know, there've been some great movies about presidents and being the president.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the golden years of Hollywood before all this started 10 years ago or whatever, back in the 90s, I guess, with the Clintons, but, yeah, there were some great movies. I mean, remember the first sitting president to be in a movie. Remember that alien movie about, I can't think. Oh, I love Contact.
Yeah.
You remember in Contact saying that.
Jodie Foster, I think, was in that, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She the Contact? Yeah. All right, from Clint again, if Biden could fix America, why didn't he just tell Obama? And if Obama wouldn't listen, then why didn't he run 4 years ago? 47 years in government, and finally, he'll pull the bottle of special sauce down from the shelf and fix everything. Love your show, guys. All right. Thanks for that, Clint. We appreciate it very much. We appreciate you guys out there, too. So,
no, for a fact. 3 years ago, Hillary was the choice, and the Democrat, and he did want to run. And the Democratic Party said, "No, Joe, you're not running because it's Hillary. That's it."
Yeah.
And of course, when this started, you know, a year ago, without Obama's support, all we heard in the media, and this was the woke media, if you remember, saying that, Obama told him, you know, you shouldn't do this. You know, you shouldn't run for president. So that's how his campaign started out. You know.
Yeah.
He just had a friendship, wrist
thing. Oh, yeah.
With Obama to show everyone, you know. So anyway, it's funny. I mean, it's like what we've watched for the last year has been remarkable.
Like I say, are they in junior high together or what? I don't know.
Well,
you and I don't even have a friendship bracelet. I mean, come on.
Friendship, okay. Yeah, I thought I would have been a necklace with a broken heart, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Jim says, if we had a flat tax, 20%, 10% to the state, 10% to the federal government, all this BS would not be happening because everybody would pay the same. No exemptions, no exclusions. Why can't we do that?
And that's why, you know, for the most part, our country's where we're at. We have a 5% general service tax, and it works. It's incredible. The cash is immediate. It goes right into your treasury. Your debt would collapse within 10 years. You'd have half the debt you have.
Yeah. So, well, unfortunately, you got to get Congress to agree on that. So, and their big bitches that, hey, the rich would still pay less. You know, 10% of theirs is less than 10% of yours. You know, so that's the gripe, I think. Greg says, oh, the irony. She's not locked up, but she's going to be. Well, I don't know. Durham report, Barr, I don't think Hillary's going to jail anytime soon. Or anybody else. I don't think Comey's going to jail, and I don't think any of these other people are going to jail either. And I've said that since the beginning. Yeah.
The Judiciary Committee again in the Senate, under Lindsey Graham, has announced that next week they'll have Comey and several Comey's going to testify, and he's trying to the other two, three stooges, you know,
yeah,
Clapper and Brennan to come. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they wanted to have them back in there. So
that's also going to happen, and it'll be interesting again if Camilla and Booker show up for those hearings, because those are going to be televised. I mean, they're going to be huge, right?
Well, I would think so, you know. So anyway, staying with the debate, one of the things we have to remember is the power of the put down. And we've had several, Dan Quayle, the list is endless, between all these people. Do you think Biden will come up with a put down that will boost him in the ratings in the ratings, I guess, or the polls?
Well, here's your problem. Great thing about Trump in these situations is he's got great timing.
Mm-hmm.
He really does. I mean, he's like an actor or a comedian, better than that, a stand-up comic. You have to have good timing. And if they've given Biden some lines that he's happened to memorize or will recall, A, he has to get it straight, and the timing, B, is going to be important. So what happens? But I would think they would have, I mean, that's the whole point, is to have a zinger, right? I mean, that's, you want a moment that is a replay.
Yeah. Let's see. Still on taxes. Bruce says sales tax 10% national. No other tax would take constitutional amendment. Paid to the state. State disperses 2% federal, 3% state, 3% county, 2% city. So that may work. I don't know.
Well, the GSP was not popular. 70% of the people in Canada didn't want it, and then within 6 months, over 70% were happy with it, and then 10 years later, with it, cut the debt in half, and people still aren't unhappy about it. So there you go.
Yeah, there's plenty of tax ideas out there. Whether or not any of them can get through Congress, that's the big question, because we've got 10 million pages of tax law in place right now, and to go through and say, wait a minute, I don't want to get rid of that part, you know, like you guys don't have the home deduction on interest up there in Canada.
Well, you know, look at it this way. You've got a $2 trillion economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
about a $4 trillion economy, roughly. But if you're talking about the government, it's about $4 trillion. Yeah.
And then underground, you know, another trillion. So, you know, $5 trillion. Okay. So 5% of that, what is it? You know, it's a lot of money. So.
Yeah. So, but it's how they spend it is the problem. That's our big issue here.
Well, in the case of Canada, RGST. Yeah, but in our case, RGST was asserted to the debt. It couldn't go in. It couldn't go in the treasury. Couldn't go in the general fund. It went right to pay the debt off. So that's what you'd have to do. You know,
yeah, well, that is what we'd have to do. Yeah, instead of kicking the can down the road with these continuing resolutions and everything, raising the debt, GDP, that's all the debt you can incur, you know. So right. I don't know. I don't know if that'll work or not. But anyway, we did that one. Let's see. Jim says 20 people talking into Biden's ear. It's going to be interesting. I guess you saw this morning they want a third party to check both of them's ears, make sure they don't have any devices in their ears. And drug test. They want a drug test. I don't know.
But the issue with a hearing aid, let's say.
Yeah.
I think that would be more confusing for Biden. I really do. I don't know that he would be able to process it if. Even in the condition that he's in. I mean, we know he has issues. It's undeniable. So pushing a plug in his ear to talk to him, you know, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
No, I agree with you. If you've never done that before, you know, we have that at the station sometimes where, you know, people off site can talk to you while you're talking. And, it can be confusing, that's for sure. Trying to keep your thought and plus process what's coming in. So it's a learning process.
That's right. Every person you see on television has an earplug and the person
right. Yeah.
Talking to them.
Yeah. Yeah. 30 seconds. Wrap it up. You know.
You know, news break. We got to cut in. You know. Yeah. You know,
yeah. That's right. Yeah. Well, some other things that are going on. We got governor races also, Shane. And the reason this is important is that if this thing isn't decided by a certain date, then each state gets one vote. And so it's very important who the governors are of these states, because they're going to have to vote for the president if the House can't decide or all the processes that we have to go through. So what's the deal on the governors?
Well, right now there's 11 governor gubernatorial races, and it looks like 7 to 9 of them are leading to Republicans, and 2 to 4 are leading to Democrats. Two of those states are Vermont and New Hampshire, which presently are both Republican. So,
those could go by the wayside, possibly, depending on the turnout of the mail-in ballots and the
But it's still gives them. Ready to the Republicans. Best case scenario will be 27 Republican states to 23. Nancy Pelosi, I'm sorry, but your dreams of presidency will not happen.
Will not happen, huh? So, all right. Good to know.
Yes.
Because I think Nancy's already got her prom dress ready to go. Just in case.
And her own State of the Union.
That's it. Yeah, she's got her own State of the Union all ready to go. Well, the other thing that might help this debate out, consumer confidence bounces back strong from August low, hitting a better than expected 101.8 in September. So whether or not the consumer out there feels any better or not, being out of work and the coronavirus and everything else, I don't know if this is going to affect anyone or not. But it does show, surprisingly, with this pandemic, that the economy is still hanging in there. You know, we're not in a recession, depression, and we probably should be.
I'll play the devil's advocate on this one. It's a freebie. Over 100 billion Americans spent for going back to school, but that's because of homeschooling, you know, and not going to school. So a lot of families bought computers and things that would normally, you know, normally it's just notebooks and backpacks, but you know, now their kids do all have to have a phone. Now the kids do have to have a computer. So that's really what's pushed this. But it's like a infrastructure bill. You know, have a hurricane here, a hurricane there. You know, all of a sudden you're adding up several billion dollars that get the in hurricane disaster that the government your federal government provides to states and stuff. And we've talked about that. I mean, you got to replace every appliance and the, all the drywall and wood. I mean, it's, you know, it's a big dime, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Jim says, Biden's already stated that he doesn't work for you or us, the American people. So why are we even listening? Linda says, Cleveland has lots of security and business owners are boarding up their windows, preparing for, and, let's see, Tate wants to know, what will happen when the, ballots end, I guess the, not bailouts, ballots, I guess. I think that's what that says.
Yeah.
And, that's my question. I firmly think we won't have a president till Christmas. Shane thinks it'll be that night. I don't think we can count mail-in ballots that quickly, but we'll see.
Well, 2 points. First of all, great there in Cleveland and next door, literally, to the Cleveland Clinic, one of the greatest medical centers in the world. And so with regard to the mail-in ballot issue, again, I think the win will be so substantial that any seat, any states the Democrats mm-hmm. want to contest, he'll have enough electoral college votes to say, here, I concede that state. Now what? Because if he does that, there's nothing he can do. How yeah. can you, if he concedes a state, mm-hmm. why are you going to recount? You just won it. Like,
yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
Tate says bailouts. We're talking about bailouts. What will happen when the bailouts end? And bad news, Tate, bailouts are not going to end because they are vote buying ways for Congress to get votes. So
is she talking about like with the government funding companies and stuff like that? Is that
yeah, things like that. Well, during the coronavirus, we're bailing out companies and whatever and things like that. So, you know, we bailed out General Motors way back when. And, you know, these things are just not, they're not going away. I'm sorry to say, because, you know, they're the easiest way for a politician to get votes is by giving people stuff. So.
Well, that and the fact that the private sector, which had 25 million jobs before the coronavirus has 15, you're back 100 and 47.5 million people employed. So the private sector area is what's been hit, the 10 million jobs they lost.
Right.
And like you said, it's like, you know, the back in 2008 and the mortgage-backed security, you know, issue with that. And the only car company in the world happened to have been Ford, who in 2006 had renegotiated their line of credit with their banks. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. So they didn't need the money. And
but every other car in the world, every other car manufacturer was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to say it to get ratings, but I can't use the word. They were shipped. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that would be true. But yeah, well, you know, you have farm subsidies, you got oil company subsidies, you got all these, you know, anything you want less of, you tax, anything you want more of, you subsidize. So it's real simple. That's the way government works, you know. So whether or not Congress is going to do something for these companies, though, you're talking about 68% of restaurants probably going out of business. And that's really going to hurt New York City and some of these other big cities that are tourist traps and whatever. I mean, you've been in the restaurant business. You know what it costs to operate at 25% capacity and your bills don't stop.
That's right. And, you know, it, of course, the two biggest costs, first labor, then food, and then third is occupancy.
Mm-hmm.
So prime costs in a restaurant business with a margin less than 10%. So, you know, even McDonald's margin, a profit is 6%. So.
Yeah, you gotta have people in the drive-through, or you got to have them in the seats in the. Yeah, because restaurants have to turn a certain amount of money per seat in their dining area to make it, you know, so. And
the largest or most popular fast food in your country is pizza. And 80% of the pizza you know, cooked in your country are from small businesses, you know, private sector businesses, not the big chain.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, pizza, I don't know. I don't think it'll get more expensive. It's already expensive, but that could be affected. You may only have chain stores to buy it from, and they don't make the best pizza, actually. I don't think.
Yeah.
It's Chinese food. Don't you have your own favorite pizza shop, or do you, you know?
Sure.
Do you,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Mike's makes a pretty good pizza out of the grocery store. It's two pound pizza.
Well, why don't you mention a local store aside from that?
Colombo's, I guess, would be a local pizza store.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Everything else is a chain, I think. Well, there might be a couple others, but no. Anyway.
Free international ad for you, Colombo. You should call Tom.
Yeah, Eagle. Right, that's it. Yeah. Did you see on the news the guy was caught with mail-in ballots in his car, harvesting ballots, and isn't Omar in trouble for somebody in her group harvesting ballots? I think I saw on the news the other night being involved in something like that. So,
but we covered the story 4 years ago about that whole $600 million heist by the Somalis in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, with daycare. Remember, they were taking their kids to daycare, and then the kids walked through and went out the back door and went home with somebody else, but they charged the state.
Mm-hmm.
And never heard anything back on that, and I was really surprised by it. That's a lot of money, $600 million.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, certainly is. So
we didn't know where that ever ended up.
Yeah. Boy, I don't know. Pelosi says Trump debts raise national security question. I don't know if that means his personal debts or it's the debts of the debt of the country. I'm sure she most people feel that Trump is in debt for something to the Russians and Chinese or whatever, you know. So I don't know. Anyway, so,
right? Like, I mean, I'm just saying. Look, today. Bonds are doing well for the U.S., of course. Everyone loves it, even though they're down. But, you know, if you're certain on foreign debt, you know, go to Brazil. You get 7.1% on a debt buying, you know, buying Brazilian debt. India's 6.5. Mexico's 5.67. So talk to your broker, you know, talk to your financial advisor, talk to your accountant. You know, if you want to make that, if I had some. I don't know if that's such a bad idea. I don't think they're going to let their debt die. You know.
So, yeah, no, I don't.
You know, if they want to pay me 7%, I mean, what, what on the U.S. 10-year, and that's 10-year, 0.64. So, you know, 500 grand, I'd probably want to make 10 times that, right?
Well, let's hope so. Well, Craig's going to play the debate drinking game. Every time Trump lies, you take a drink, he'll be passed out in 5 minutes. So good for him, because he won't be confused, Craig, as to what's going on. So let's see. Michael Cohen's Trump's ex-lawyer says he'll be the first to go straight to prison from the White House. His biggest fear has always been his tax returns being made public. Well, they're not going to be made public unless he okays it. And the IRS is certainly not going to release them publicly. So it's kind of a moot point, you know, unless the IRS finds something in his returns they don't like, then, you know, they did give him a massive refund. They okayed that. So, you know, where do you find yourself?
Well, that's the whole issue, correct?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
You know, you're looking at this and wondering what's going on. I mean, the market was up to begin this morning. Now it's down because oil's dropped $1.88. So crude oil, Texas, 38.72. Brent in Europe is 40.72, down $1.71. Natural gas down 25 cents, but over $2 at $2.54. And you look at gold, it's up $10 to $18.91. Soybeans are down $9.88. Wheat's at $5.48. And for other farmers and listeners, beef is at $16.62, up 6 cents. Poultry, $5.98. It's unchanged. Live cattle, $108.50, up 62 cents. Feeder cattle, $142.87, up $1.87. Lean hog, 72.87, up 35 cents. So there's
all right.
Rancher commodity report for the morning.
That's a deal. Well, the other thing going on, the Kentucky AG, Attorney General, agrees to release the grand jury tapes in the Breonna Taylor case in the hopes that, I guess, if people see the testimony, maybe it'll quell the riots. Maybe they'll understand what happened, what questions were asked, and all of that. I seriously doubt if that's going to change anyone's mind. They've already made up their mind that this is police brutality, it's murder, and they're not going to accept any testimony, anything that is going to, diminish penalty for this crime or this.
Well, look, Tom, we've seen this now for 6 months, right? Since May.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's been going on for a long time.
Matter and Antiva, are not doing this because of Breonna Taylor. That's an excuse to do it.
Yeah.
It's an excuse to do it. And that's all it is. I mean, mentioned those two murders, you know, they didn't even make the news. Where didn't you say one in L.A. was shot and
There was a guy shot for a traffic stop. There was a guy trying to get away on a bicycle that was shot. we don't hear about those.
Don't matter. And so
only certain Black lives matter. Only if they're killed in specific ways. Without guns or, without running from the cops.
I think it was in Portland last night. Could be wrong. But it was quite fascinating. One guy that owned a shop was, assaulted by Black Lives Matter, saying, "Say Black Lives Matter. Say Breonna Taylor matters." And he said, "No, I don't have to do that." "Yes, you do. Yes, you do." "No, I don't." And I don't see color. When I look at you, I don't see color. You're a human being. Wow, they didn't know how to deal with that. The minute
Oh my God.
If we attack him after what we've just said and after what at least they thought about it. And he was on TV last night. Brilliant guy. What a great response.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I saw that interview. Yeah, he did. He did a good job there, and he didn't escalate the situation, which was the good thing about that confrontation. That sometimes these things escalate out of control.
So the memo now should go out to every police department across the country, to every policeman that's standing there being yelled at and screamed at. I don't see color. Everyone is the same color to me.
Yeah.
And they should be allowed to, because normally they stand there, can't say anything. But that's really a great response to these young white kids, which are, that are educated. They actually have developed.
Supposedly they're educated.
They've gone to college and developed a thought process because you're listening to professors. So, if a police officer says, "I don't see color," we're all the same. That's it. That's fine. I don't see color. I just see a human being. We're all human beings. No,
that's
color.
For sure. Well, that's why it's so hard to get across. I don't know if you saw the Utah business owner who gave up his suite at the Utah Jazz. He says, "Hey, I'm not going to, I'm a patriotic American. I don't want these guys kneeling for the flag. And I'm going to close down my $70 million suite of, ticket prices, food, beverage, all that, a lot of money per year for, and I'm sure they'll have no problem selling it to some other organization, but still, you got to commend the guy for, he says, I'm just not going for this anymore. So.
Well, it's one of these things where you look at the woke media in your country and where all the Pulitzer Prize winning journalists investigate these hundreds of millions. Now we're not talking tens we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars given to Black Lives Matter and Antiva and where they've raised money to bailout funds.
Yeah.
A, where's the money coming from? But B, where's all this money going that corporations are donating to Black Lives? Like, who's getting the money? like what bank account did they contribute it to?
Yeah, I was going to say, where is that?
You may find They didn't give a dime. They just said they did.
Well, that could be too. So I don't know. Anyway, worldwide coronavirus deaths toll surpasses 1 million people. And that's, of course, a milestone that nobody wants to see, but there it is nonetheless. So, you know, it is what it is.
8,900 confirmed cases here. We lost three more souls overnight, so we're at 233. But recovered 7,346, so less than 500 people still in recovery, which is pretty remarkable. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as far as Montana, where we are, or where I am anyway, is we're certainly, you know, we have 174 deaths, but... we do have 8,000 folks have recovered. We only have 158 hospitalizations for a million point oh seven people. So we could certainly be doing a lot worse than we are. So you know, until they do something with this, till we get you know, some kind of a vaccine or you know, other thing that's going to slow this down. We're going to have it with us for a while. So, and the flu season's ready to start too.
3.8. That's right, and cold. Europeans across the European 27 countries, 3.8 million, and 216,300 have lost their lives. So, yeah, it's still serious, and it's hitting the rural areas remarkably. 110 million people tested in your country. And overall, a positive test is 8%. So it's less than 9 that it started out with 8 weeks ago, 2 months ago. And, you know, so this is one of those things. I don't know. I guess it's, you know, maybe because the media is, or the national media in your country is not covering these numbers. I think locally on TV they would be, but like we do, like every Saturday and every day, but. You know, I don't know. I can't look at your president and not see what more that he could have done. Look at your president and see when he reacted and what he's done. Look at your president and see what he did. I would compare it to the Manhattan Project for right? I would compare it to rebuilding Europe, because what he's done in less than a year, to me, is quite impressive. No one seems to want to give him credit for it. The media just you killed all these people. You're responsible for it. You could have done something more. And I don't know. What are your thoughts? You've watched it. We've talked about it.
Well, hindsight's always 20/20. I mean, you know. How many flus and viruses, and we went through the bird flu, the swine flu, H1N1. You know, every couple of years, here comes some flu thing, and it never turned into anything, and this one has. You know, it hasn't turned into a deadly virus because 95% of the people recover from it. You know, only those who are susceptible seem to be the ones that are at most risk. But if you're under 50, I think the numbers are 95% of you are going to recover from it if you don't have, you know, some other condition that is going to be weakened by the virus.
Well, and not only that, but all the scientists and doctors are telling us now, we now know what we're dealing with. You know, 9 months ago, we didn't. And we talked about this in March, you and I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, February when it started. And really, the predicate, I think, it's not been brought up, but I think the predicate for shutting things down was it was so infectious. That's what they told the president then. Yeah. And number two, you'd had such a bad H1N1 season because we were reporting the CDC numbers every day and they were just astronomical. And the fear of your whole medical system being overwhelmed, you know, in other words, when you were looking at the number of people, visits in hospital from the H1N1, if that were to double, your system would collapse. And yeah. I think that's why he shut it down. It, you know, ultimately was also because it ended up, now we're told it was science that, you know, over 60% were from retirement homes or the elderly that died of the 200,000, which mm-hmm. is really a terrible thing because.
Well, it is. Yeah. Well, that's what happened in Montana. We had a bunch of people die in Billings from, you know, a large nursing home there. Probably half of our 174 deaths were in that one area. We had some others in some other counties, but they were also related to nursing homes. And, you know, people have pre-existing conditions and whatever. So, yeah.
That's when we get a spike, it's a nursing home. And the only person that can be, at this point, bringing it in has to be a worker. Can't be anyone because no one else is allowed in.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that you can't have any visitors or things like that. And yeah, so let's see. Jim wants to know: did they pay taxes on the BLM donations? Or is it a registered nonprofit? Well, I registered nonprofit or not. And Craig says over 200,000 dead Americans from China virus. I'm bored of a winning. It's the China virus, not the Trump virus. One word, Shane Mass. Trump is anti-mask. No, he's not. He never said he's anti-mask. I've never heard him say he's anti-mask. That's what more he could have done. Well, that's up to the local health department to do the mask deals. And I wear one when I go out.
I do too.
I mean,
well, stores here can voluntarily decide whether you should wear a mask or not. So I carry one, but transit requires it. So, you know, if I'm going to take the transit here.
Yeah. If you're going to take public transportation, you'll be wearing one. Yeah. So, and, certainly, it's a free country. If you want to wear one, fine. If you don't, fine. If you're under 50, your chances of getting it and surviving are 98-99%. So, you make up your own mind, you know.
You know, the medical protocol is to replace it every 20 minutes. I don't want to disappoint everyone, but I've been using the same mask now for 3 months.
I was going to say everybody does that, you know. I mean, Yeah, the thing's got food on it. You know, it's got bugs on it. It's got everything on it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it looks like everybody else's windshield, right? Like,
yeah, it's pretty disgusting. Yeah, whatever. So, well, other news. They did a poll in Virginia, and Virginians are evenly divided on the statues, keeping the statues or getting rid of them, and. Having gone to a college in Texas during the 60s, during the height of the civil rights situation, before the Civil Rights Act was passed by Congress and all of this going on down there, I will tell you that a lot of people down there, this is their history. You know, the Civil War was their history. And, the fact that you've got a Civil War leader up there, that was their history, and whether it should be taken down or not should not be determined by someone from the North. It should be done with someone who from the South. So,
well, my determination on this is simple. The Demolition Party, the Party of Slavery, Party of Civil War, they want Antifa and they want Black Lives Matter to go out and tear down these Civil War monuments. Because it's a reminder that the Democratic Party started the war and fought the war. And, 700,000 plus people that died or were wounded that died because of the Demolition Party. So they're the ones that want this history erased. It's a hard call to have to be reminded, particularly with African-Americans, that, this is all the Demolition Party. And we, for years we've talked about it.
That's true. Craig thinks it's example. Trump is anti-mask. No, he isn't. He wears one occasionally when he has to go somewhere and mocks people who wear them. No, he doesn't. I've never heard him mock anybody for wearing a mask. he mocks Biden because Biden's taking it off the deep end, maybe. But I don't know. What's your sister got to say, Shane?
Biden is going to hit hard by Trump. or is going to get hit hard by Trump. He is going to fake a health issue and either debate and blame Trump because he is mean to him. Watch the pity show. Well, she's talking about what you say. Don't make Biden a victim, right?
That basically. Yeah. No, you can't make him a victim. Yeah. That's absolutely, that's the last thing you want to do. Jim says my 20% flat tax would have no nonprofits, no deductions. Everybody pays too. Many of these nonprofits are scams. And I would tend to agree with you there, Jim, that a lot of them are scams. So, I would say that's fairly accurate. So, but anyway, you know, Shane is right. After Trump did that $10,000 fine general order, statues quit going down, and they went other places and did other things. So, you know, but I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, they just went and burned, looted, and destroyed businesses instead.
Yeah, I was going to say, BLM, burn, loot, murder, seems to be the mantra for that. So, yeah, I'm all for people, social burn and loot stores and, because somehow you feel you were oppressed or, you know, the system's not fair to you. Yeah, you got the vote. You voted in the people who are making the rules for you that you don't like.
It's amazing because watching all this, two things I just want to comment on. The use of Molotov cocktails. I mean, we haven't seen that in a century on streets, right?
Like, I know, yeah.
And the other one is these commercial fireworks. I mean, that's the modern Molotov cocktail, right?
Yeah.
Which are dangerous, obviously. You saw that one demonstrator lit himself on fire, and they didn't even know how to put him out. Like,
yeah, I know. Yeah, he's rolling around, and they're trying to. One guy's trying to put it out with a trash can lid. Yeah. banging him on the legs with his trash can lid.
Or, some kind of cloth, put it out.
Yeah.
That tells you the nature of these people. That's, it's all about themselves. It's all about themselves.
Not smart. Jim says, I can't wait for them to try to take the cowboy off the Wyoming license plate because the cowboy might have shot some Indians along the way. So, I don't know if that's.
I'm waiting for Black Lives Matter to demand that Connecticut change its name because Jamestown was where it started. And as we said, I have told you, the name Connecticut came from Baron Conduit of Britain. Mm-hmm. Who created Jamestown, and he named that area, that territory, that state after himself. So why haven't they demanded, that Connecticut change its name? I mean, can't culture, baby. Let's be even.
Yeah, that would be it. All right, we're out of time here. Hey, don't forget, we are on every day at this time, 9:00 in the morning, Mountain Time, on every weekday. We'll be back tomorrow with a wrap up of the debate. Tonight, let you know what we think for whatever that's worth. What we think happened. I don't know that we need to pick a winner or not, but we can certainly comment on what was said, how the candidates conducted themselves, and things like that. So we'll be back tomorrow to take care of that. And also, we are on every Saturday on radio. You can listen to us anywhere in the world, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Mountain Time. Click on KMMSAM.com. Don't forget the AM, KMMSAM.com. And you'll be directed over to our videos and audio, whichever is available at that time. And if you missed any of our past shows, hey, you can watch them all at KMMSAM.com. Again, just click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and you'll be taken over there as well. So, and if you're watching us on YouTube right now, hey, don't forget to subscribe, like us, comment on it. What questions would you like to see in the debate? We'll check those as we go along during the day and see what you guys think about that. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Say goodbye, Shane.
I will indeed tomorrow get a bigger mug of coffee because I'm going to talk the Eagle Man into overtime because it's going to be a great show.
All right.
Enjoy the debate. Be happy. Be safe. Live in the moment. Live to work. God bless the people of the United States and Canada. And how grateful are we that we live in the two greatest country clubs in the world.
That'll do it for us today. Hey, don't forget, all views are welcome here, as our comments attest. And let's see, we got a couple more comments. We'll get those in real quick here. Great show. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Linda, for being here with us. And also, Joe... did you guys have a good time? I'm having fun, I guess. I don't know. The Joe guys. Well, it's us guys. So we're having a great time here with everybody. So we appreciate you all listening to us. Thanks very much. All views are welcome here. And don't forget that, hey, if you think it there, we'll say it here. So that's it for us. We'll see everybody tomorrow, 9 a.m.